on 1116 SEN. The Bush and the Burbs with Paul Daffy for Abus, the brand chosen by security professionals. If you love it, lock it with Abus.
And big welcome back to Paul Daffy. Great to have you daylight hours, Daff.
Thanks, Fonny. I've been enjoying these mornings. It's a bit of a change of pace, isn't it? Faster pace, actually. Now, we just ramble on at night. We're very sharp in the mornings, aren't we?
Yes, we've got to get to the point, and we'll do so very quickly as well. We'll be joining the president of the Naranda Football Club, Anthony Foster. They won the Warrnambool District Football League Grand Final, and they were runaway favourites in that competition. They played the unbeaten Old Collegians, who'd gone through the year, home and away, 18-0. And given that Naranda were 12-6, they were given no hope in the Grand Final, but they got up and won.
That's right. This was clearly the biggest surprise in the grand final results this year in country footy. I was reminded of it because Naranda's local pub is the Boggy Creek Hotel, the wonderfully named Boggy Creek Hotel. And I was there on Tuesday night and I knew we were doing this segment. We decided to wrap it up, do a country footy wrap. So we'll have to do Naranda. I'll have to ring Anthony Foster, the president, the outgoing president. He's stepping down after 6 years, actually. But I've decided the Boggy Creek Hotel is the best pub in Victoria. I mean, maybe I was doing a tour of Western Victoria with 8 Singaporeans. And I thought I'd give them a real Australian experience. I'll take them away from the tourist zone. We were staying in Port Campbell. So we drove 20 k's to the Boggy Creek Hotel. I'd never been there. I'd wanted to for a long time. But driving to it, there's this meandering river in the fields behind the river. It's an old pub. It's got wood panelling. I expect, it's like some scene out of The Wind in the Willows or something. I expected a stoat or an otter or something to come, emerge from the water wearing a waistcoat and a fob watch or something. Out of some old English tale. It is from another world. It's one of those pubs where it's still got the strange room, the small room, which has got various curios from the local angling club in this instance, and whiskey distillery club. Whiskey Distillery History Society.
Wow.
It is well over a century old, and it's just, those old pubs which have got rooms, which you think, why did they build that?
Well, there used to be the ladies' lounge.
Ladies' lounge. They have a lounge and they have a bar, and the bar is wood panelled. That's how old it is. You don't get wood panelled bars now, at least not in this part of the world. Anyway, so
how about the local fare?
Well, beautiful. Now, I spoke to Aidan, who was behind the bar. He's a sports journalism student at La Trobe, so we hit it off immediately. And Aidan's parents run it. Dad running the pub and Mum in the kitchen. And they, funny moment, Asians share dishes, as you know. So, but publicans in country Victoria don't necessarily know this. So, so they're out in the kitchen serving up. They've this big long list of fish of the day, and there's a very, very simple menu actually. It's just about 7 main dishes. They come out, and I said, "Look, can you bring in a few extra plates because I'll be sharing it?" And got a strange look. No worries. And I come back with an extra plate. Sure enough, they're all used. That's the first time that meals have been shared in that fashion in the Boggy Creek Hotel. So it was an education for everyone. But they loved it. They had a great time. And the service was magnificent. The food was fantastic. I just recommend it as a great pub. And it was also, especially that bar. I mean, that's small. You want a small, cosy bar? Well, this is one pub that's still got it. And they celebrated long and hard after the Naranda Premiership this year. First time in the finals since 1999. So they hadn't even played in the final since their last flag. Coached by Adam Dowie, he's a very famous country footy coach. That was his first flag.
And there's a real emotional story behind Naranda's win because, of course, Boggy Creek is the hometown of Paul Couch.
That's right, yep.
And Paul Couch, of course, passed away, sadly, earlier on this year.
That's right.
There's some couches in the tomb.
That's right. Look, famously, after the 1989 Grand Final, after 1989 Brownlow, Paul Couch said in his victory speech, they'll be celebrating in the Boggy Creek pub tonight. And he was right. And now Paul Couch's nephews, Mitch and Nathan Couch, two brothers, they played in Naranda's Premiership. Mitch was actually best on ground, playing off a halfback flank. He played a fantastic game. They had three sets of brothers, also James and Dylan Wilshire and Ethan and Jesse Dalton. Two cousins born on the same day, Daniel Craven and Jason Lee. So it was a real family local affair. Most people would, if they weren't from Naranda, they would have been from very close by or they would have been friends with someone from the team. Mostly dairy farmers. Almost everyone had ever been through Naranda was at the grand final. There was one flank from point post to the wing was blue and white. So it was a great country against Collegians, which is a town team from the old Catholic college, the old boys team from the Catholic college in Warrnambool. It was a great day and an amazing result. There's no way they should have won, but they just played it tighter and kept it tight. And the younger Collegians team, when they got it in the open, they made mistakes. They just froze on the big stage after being unbeaten all year.
Now, a great SMS just received. The Boggy Creek pub used to play darts versus a team in England every year, and the game was held over the telephone. So there would have been...
You know these things, finally. This is modern darts, is it?
Well,
is that what they do?
Would have gone back in the day. Now they'd probably use Skype or something like that and have it all sort of televised. But I imagine there would have been an official scorer for each team. And they would have thrown three darts at the Boggy Creek Hotel. And down the phone, the score would have been recorded and then...
Well, the blokes in England, if they saw through Skype the setup at the Boggy Creek pub, it would have looked very familiar to them. They wouldn't have felt out of place at all.
Now, so what you have started up this business where you act as a tour guide to foreign visitors. It sounds like a wonderful thing. I mean, most people land in Australia, tourists, and they come to Melbourne. They'd probably not get far out of the CBD, do the... stock standard.
That's right. Look, I've only been doing
trip down the Yarra, or whatever. But you actually take them into the heart and soul of the state. And
well, I work for a few companies at this stage. I normally do the Penguins and the Ocean Road, but this one I started for Melbourne Australia Tours, and I took eight Singaporeans around the Grant Stall through the Grampians down through Dunkeld along the Ocean Road, and yeah, I hadn't done it overnight before, and. Well, guests loved it. I loved it. It was great just to show people who'd never been to Australia and to go to the Gift Hotel in Stawell and various places like that. And
I think
we had a lot of chips, and they're right. I've never seen so many chips as we've had on this trip. Good chips at the Boggy Creek Hotel as well.
That's hot potato chips.
Hot potato chips, yeah.
And
more chips, they said. More chips.
off the SMS, great pub has a drive-through bottle-o.
Does it?
And
Curdy's River, that's it.
It's near the Curdy's River. And apparently you can catch a nice bream in the Curdy River as well.
Mate, it looks like there's fish swimming very slowly in that river, just waiting to be caught.
See, a lot of people have got to the Boggy Creek Hotel. New Year's Eve at the Boggy Creek in the 1980s. Wowee.
It's heritage listed. There's this bizarre little wooden bandstand to the right there. I presume they have band nights occasionally. I mean, yeah, I want to go back.
Sounds like a must visit. Very exciting. So the Naranda Football Club in the Warrnambool District Football League, as you say, had not played finals since 1999, a year that they won the grand final in. Old Collegians were tearaway favourites, undefeated going into the grand final. And the president of the Naranda Football Club, Anthony Foster, joins us now on this special edition of Bush and the Burbs. Good morning to you, Anthony.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
G'day, mate. Anthony, tell us about... Now, you're the outgoing president, we know that, after 6 years. Is it because you've won the flag that you're stepping down? Like, you're the man who's brought success to Naranda, is that it?
I think it was a team effort. Individuals don't achieve a lot on their own. It's a team effort. I had a great team around me. And as an old bloke once said, you surround yourself with good people, you get good results. And I had a lot of good people around me, and they made me look good, probably.
Well, Anthony, did you give yourself up? I mean, you only had to win the last round to even make the finals.
Correct.
Snuck into fifth, and then you've... Well, I was going to say charge through the finals. You haven't. You actually scraped through a couple and then ended up winning the grand final. It was a bizarre final series for you. Tell us about it.
It was surreal, actually. I thought when we made the finals, we had a good chance because we had a lot of young blokes who have no fear. And we had great coaches. And I just think it was a combination of lack of injuries in the finals, good coaching, the will to win, and a huge community support. Those factors put together probably made the difference.
Well, tell us about the community, Anthony. Tell us about Naranda. Many Melbourne listeners will never have heard of it. Many country listeners wouldn't have heard of it.
It was about 40 k's east of Warrnambool and of 2.5 hour drive from Melbourne, so about 250 k's. It's a small farming community, 1 kilometre south of grounds, the Great Ocean Road runs, and they've got sea below us. But it's a good community spirit. They get on well together, and momentum built probably for the last 6 years of achieving this aim. And Netball's did very well, In the last couple of years, they spent a couple of $1 million on facilities there, which are all paid for now, and we had great support from the federal, state, and Moyne Shire to get those done, and great local community support. And I think all those little factors, all those little 1% is added together to just building that momentum, and I think the players appreciated it, and we're on a mission to get to the top of the mountain, and we got there.
Some would say that there was help from on high. Local football's most famous product, local son, Paul Couch, a Brownlow medalist, of course, a champion with the Cats, tragically and suddenly passed away, heart attack whilst cycling earlier on in the year. And with a couple of Couches in the team and I imagine local spirit very high, how much do you think that drove the team on?
Well, certainly all those things help. And, you know, Mitch and Nath are good lads, and they play well in the whole final series, and they've been good for the club. But as you know, one family doesn't make a club, but they've done a great job. And Paul, you know, did a great job as a Geelong footballer and a good fellow after his footy days. And
Anthony, tell us about Mitch and Nathan. What do they do for a crust, Mr. Nathan Crouch?
Yeah, Couch, right? Nathan's a plumber, and Mitch works on a local dairy farm. And who's one of the Craven family, and one of their sons played in the grand final too. So it was all interconnected.
Now, being a Western Districts football club, I'm surprised you didn't have a Daffy in the team. I mentioned when Paul Daffy turned up, you would have known a Daffy or two.
I know. We're a bit fuzzy. We mixed with them. I said earlier in the show that we have good people in the club, so he wasn't welcome.
Daffy's are from rival clubs.
More Camperdown, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
The
yeah.
Daffys.
And Swan Marsh, weren't they? And I think the boy Daffy that played footy at Richmond, his grandfather came from Swan Marsh.
Yeah, Nick.
Famous football family.
Yeah, Nick Daffy's family was from Colac. That's Swan Marsh.
Yeah.
Then he grew up in Mount Gambier and was recruited from Mount Gambier, so they moved there.
Now, the grand final, an amazing day, Anthony, because, of course, old collegians undefeated throughout the season win the second semi-final in big style by 8 goals. And come quarter time, and collegians hadn't kicked a goal yet, and all of a sudden the impossible seems possible. In fact, it was 18 minutes in the second quarter before old collegians was able to kick their first goal. I guess at that point, dreams started to become materialised.
Yes, it did. I can honestly say in all my years involvement in footy, it's the hardest 2 hours I've ever put in footy. I think I rode every kick and every bump, and it wasn't until the bell went at the finish I knew we were home. And they are a good side. We had to play at our best the whole game, and our coaches got the best out of every player, and our players were disciplined and played as a unit, and that was probably, at the end of the day, was the winning factor.
So with the Boggy Creek pub rated number one in Victoria by Paul Daffy as a possible celebratory location, how did the hamlet of Naranda and all your fantastic supporters in blue and white celebrate this famous win?
That night we had about 500 back to our club rooms, and that was a great night. And then the following day we had our best and fairest count of the club rooms, and on Monday we had our Mad Monday at the Boggy Pub, and they've been great supporters of the club for a long time. And it was a great day, and the netballs were there too. And and also Elvey Footy Club turned up. They won the reserves premiership, and a lot of the players know each other. And I had a nephew there, and it was a great day. And to see the happiness and the older supporters have put so much work in for a long time to get their reward. It was just magic.
You got the phone going off a lot there. You're not an SP bookmaker, are you, Anthony?
No, I am not. I'm at work, actually, so I'm hiding from the boss.
Now, Alvey's an interesting town. It's the first town in Victoria when you head in from South Australia. If you've been down to Narracourt or down in the southeast of South Australia, Alvey and Naranda celebrate together, that would be unusual, wouldn't it?
You know, the Elvey I'm talking about, it's only about 10 minutes out of Colac.
Okay, all right.
It's a local footy.
You might be thinking of Aspley.
Oh, maybe Aspley.
Aspley?
Yeah, maybe I am. But
nevertheless,
to have a kinship with another football club and
that's good, isn't it?
Celebrate together, that's unusual, isn't it, Anthony?
Yeah, no. Oh, not really. A lot of the people know each other nowadays, and they come down. It was all done in good spirit, and they said, did they mind them joining us for a drink? And we said, no, come in and enjoy the moment, and we did, and they're all well-behaved, and credit to their club. And same with our players. Our players are credited to themselves, their families and their club, the way they conducted themselves over that celebratory period.
Well, in a year that saw the Bulldogs win the premiership in the AFL, Cronulla break their duck in the NRL, the Chicago Cubs get a win, Leicester City get a win, we throw in Naranda, never played a final since your last grand final in 1999, rank outsiders, and you're our nomination and winner of local football's Premiers of the Year. So congratulations.
No, thank you very much. That was a great effort. And just, it gives inspiration to young people that if you just keep working hard at something, it's amazing what you can achieve. And those young blokes worked very hard for the 9 months and the previous 5 years, and they deserve what they got. So I was very proud of them and very happy for them.
Back to work, Anthony, and no more the fave.
That's right.
Good on you, mate. The president, outgoing, but still cock-a-hoop of the Naranda Football Club, Anthony Foster. And they, thank you, Anthony. They are our, Daff, Bush and the Burbs, Premier of the Year.
Yes, and deservedly so. Anthony works at a farm supplies place. I think he's a manager there, so that's why the phone was going off. Alvey play on one of the biggest slopes in Victoria. Fine, I think it's about 11 feet or three or 4 metres from goal to goal.
Amazing,
the gradient.
Yeah.
Potato fields all around. Paul Lynch, ex-Geelong player.
Great player, done by hamstring injuries.
Hamstring injuries. He's from Alvey. They wear the red and the white. I don't know whether they were drinking downhill that day and they just decided to go further down south and join the boys from Naranda, but that's a nice touch. And it is unusual, but it's sort of not. As players from each team, they do know each other. They often work in the biggest centres together or go to school together. So but all the same, it was a good touch.
Off the SMS, Leopold won their first grand final as well this year.
They did. First in the not far away, actually. They won their first in the Geelong League. They went in there in about 1993, I reckon. So they're first in that 23 years since they've been in the comp. Defeated St Mary's by 36 points. Jai Thompson, best on ground.
Grounds with gradients. That's a whole topic for another. Sylvan play on a slope.
Do they?
Yeah. And
Bonnie Doon played on a massive one, and then it got levelled off. And they lost their advantage.
And you tend to, you know, win the toss and kick uphill in the first quarter, knowing that the downhill run in the last quarter is a bit of an advantage for tired legs.
But the team, the visiting team would often overcook it, try to kick the guts out of it because they wanted to see how far they can kick.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like when you're kicking with the wind, you still got to actually kick to a teammate, not just blows away.
I mean, Sylvan have the doubly vexing situation of playing on a gradient and on the downward slope behind the goals. There's a big drop-off and the ball sort of drops 4 or 5 metres. So quarters go a heck of a long time there because, you know, the balls kick through the goals and it always ends up down in the hollow.
Maldon's the other one near Bendigo with a massive slope. And a ground called Bracknell near Longford in Tasmania. The forward pocket falls away so much it almost doesn't exist. It's like a cliff in one forward pocket.
And amazingly, in professional soccer,
they're all standard soccer grounds, aren't
they? Yeah, well, there is one with a slope.
Where's that?
Pittodrie.
Ah.
The home of Aberdeen.
Is that right?
Yeah, I believe you kick down a hill and uphill at Pittodrie.
Alex Ferguson's original, the club that he managed first, wasn't it?
We need to take a break. And when we come back, we've given the award for the Premier of the Year, Premiers of the Year, our number one nod to the number one grand final win of the year. Now our number one story of the year, and we head more north.
East north. It's about half an hour north of Shepparton, finally, towards the Murray.
Well, welcome back now, mate. I've got my Sylvans and Sevilles mixed up with slopes there in the
excited
Yarra Valley District Man in Football League and the Eastern Football League and combinations thereof. But one thing about the Sylvan Football Club, I was there a couple of years ago doing a talk at lunchtime. By the way, welcome back, Pushing the Burbs with Paul Daffy into the AM. And I said to the folks at Sylvan, it's the first time I've ever gone to a local football club to do a speech, and my ears popped on the way when I was driving.
I've never done that. Yeah.
Up in the hills there, and my ears popped. So it's weather's a little bit different there than in Melbourne, let me tell you. Now, the Nathalia Football Club had a great season. They went back-to-back, winning a flag again in a nail-biter by 3 points. But our local football Bush and the Burbs story of the year doesn't contend with matters September and the finals. It happened much earlier on in the year. And to talk us through it is Craig White, coach of the Nathalia Football Club. Good morning, Craig.
G'day, fellas. How are we?
Good, Craig. Now, Craig Finney's built it up. Tell us about this story of the training one night early in the season on a Thursday night when there was an unexpected event in the Broken River, which I gather the ground is tucked into a bend of the Broken River. Is that right?
Yeah, so it's actually the Broken Creek. But, yeah, that's correct. The creek surrounds the far side of their football oval.
It's actually a beautiful setting for a footy ground. But go on. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it is good. So what happened on that particular night was, as luck had it, we were actually training in our second oval, and we did move across to the main oval, and one of the guys partway through a drill mentioned that they thought they seen or heard a car go over into the creek, and at the time I had a broken leg, so I wasn't able to rush over there, but the guys did think that happened, so they rushed across there, and before you know it, there was a car in the creek, and the guys, several of them were already in the water by the time I got over there trying to get the man out of the car that was partly submerged in the creek.
So, well, they'd tear their footy boots off or just jumping boots on? Or?
Oh, I don't think they had a lot of time to do anything like that. You can imagine it was dark and some moonlight, and they jumped straight in.
So the car was at the bottom of the creek? Like, how deep?
It's quite a deep part of the creek where it was, but, yeah, it was still submerged, so it was quite buoyant, which is a surprise probably to some people, but the car was still there. They were still able to try and talk to the guy, but just couldn't get him out. They were able to, in the end, smash a window and try and get him out, but unfortunately then the car disappeared to the bottom of the creek with the man still in the vehicle.
So how'd they drag him out?
So, at that point they had to dive under the water and come back up, and they couldn't get him out initially, which was a real concern, but then they did, were able to pull him out through the window. A few of the guys that were in there were able to pull him out through the window and get him up to the surface, and then they could swim him across to the shore.
Okay, so was he a big guy or a small guy? Or?
Yeah, he was bigger than average, I would say. Yeah, so it took several guys to be able to do that. So to the boys' credit, without being asked or anything, obviously they rescued the guy out of the creek.
And was he okay afterwards, or were there repercussions?
He had to stay in hospital. He may have had some water on his lungs, if I remember rightly. But, he's full health again now. So
now, this could have gone horribly wrong, which would have affected some of those players. I mean,
yeah,
they would have been...
No doubt.
I mean that's the possibility, I suppose, isn't it? So,
definitely,
it could have been a big night. Was there any trauma or what ifs? I mean, or did you talk about things afterwards, or what happened?
Yeah, so what we decided to do as a club was have a debrief the following evening. Because remembering it, at our local football club, we have some of our younger junior guys that play now under 17, so that potentially some of those guys are 16, 17 years old. So we thought that was important to have a debrief and get a counsellor down to the club, and she spoke to us, and I spoke to the guys, just reassuring them that they could talk to each other and communicate it, how they were feeling if need be.
It's fair to say, Craig, that without the intervention of members of the Nathalia Football Club, that man would have perished. I think that's fairly obvious. Every year, awards are given for bravery and for deeds similar to this, as the feats of those individuals involved in the Nathalia Football Club being recognised?
Oh, internally, definitely. It was great of the family to appreciate our help as well. But, there's no official recognition, but I'm sure the community and the local public appreciate what we've done. We're in the local newspapers, and we've had several other radio interviews in recent time after the event. So, I think the guys felt appreciated. They definitely went over and above in my eyes and put their own health at risk.
Did it affect your season, Craig, for good or bad?
I don't think so. I think events like that only unite the playing group.
Unite them, okay.
Yeah, I think so. And it may play a small part in having some form of success, potentially. I suppose that's a bit of an unknown.
What's the nickname of the Nathalia Football Club?
The Perps. We obviously wear a purple jumper.
Purple with the yellow monogram, the yellow NFC font.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, little man, a purple man like a blues man. Yep.
The Perps. They're the only, a lot of teams wear purple jumpers. Nathada are the only team that call themselves the Perps.
Sounds like a perpetrator.
Yeah, it's a little bit unique, but yeah.
Yeah, well.
Very successful, though, for them in the last 10 years.
I wouldn't be surprised if you start getting known as the Lifesavers as well.
Yeah, well, yeah, the boys did an extremely good job, I think. So that was, yeah. Yep. From my point of view, it's a very proud moment for the boys. Like I say, they risked their own health, I felt, to help someone they potentially didn't know.
I reckon the Broken Creek, especially at that deep part in the bend, might run pretty cold as well.
Yeah. Well, that time of year, it was a cold winter's night, as you can imagine. So, it would have been very cold in the water.
Well, brave boys, an amazing story, and Craig as coach of back-to-back premiership teams, something more to be proud of in Nathalia. Thanks for joining us this morning.
No worries, yeah. And a shout-out to the boys that are there working. A lot of the boys are farmers or local tradies, our players, so they're probably all listening in, so hopefully they're having a good day today.
Good on you, boys.
Good on you, lads. Merry Christmas to the lot of you.
And well coached by Craig, too. They punch above their weight in Nathalia in the Murray League.
Well, of course, very famous for the Burke family, and now more to be famous and proud of. Thanks for joining us, Craig.
He's gone
back to work. And just very quickly, Tony Footscray's rung in with the best grounds in Victoria. We're talking about some odd grounds. Good way to finish the discussion. Good morning to you, Tony.
G'day, gentlemen. My junior football club, or not junior, my senior football club, was the home of Gary Ablett Jr. And I don't know if you're aware of the Motawari Football Club, but they play at Mount Moriac Reserve, which not only has got a devastating slope, but out that part of the country, the wind is always blowing from the west, which is downhill. So if you win the toss at that round, it's a bit of a no-brainer.
Good year this year, made the grand final. Didn't quite get the chockies in the end, but came through from the elimination, is that right?
Yeah, nearly. They nearly got over the line. Would have been the first one since 1994.
Okay. And the coach won his fourth league medal. I forget his name. Great local player. That'll come to me.
Thanks a lot.
Not one of the Hobies, is it?
What's that, sorry?
It wasn't one of the Hobies.
Jesse Hoban? No. It'll come to me. I can't remember right now.
Thanks a lot for the call. Well, that brings to an end Push on the Burbs for 2016.
Good on you, Finey. Thanks for having me. I've enjoyed these mornings.